Okay, Hevra. Yesterday, if you remember, we presented five possibilities about the distinction between a kli rishon and a kli sheni. And the most popular possibility is Tosas on daf mem amid beis, where Tosas says that kli rishon, the defanos are mechamimos, but kli sheni, this is his lashon, ein dofnos of chamin. The holeich umiskareya. Kli sheni, the walls are not hot, and it is getting colder. So that seems to be somewhat contradictory, right? One could say that kli rishon, it has hot walls. Kli sheni doesn't have hot walls. But Tosis doesn't really say that. Tosis says that kli sheni is holeich umiskareya. Kli sheni is getting colder. It's not just that the distinction is not between whether it's Dufanos Chamos or not. The distinction is more pronounced in that by Kli Sheni, the idea is that it's getting colder. Effectively, there is contradictory diukim in the Tosas. Is the din of Kli Rishon because it gets hotter, or is the din of Kli Sheni because it gets colder? And the nafkamina, the chaorah, should be with respect to dinim of Eruv. Because when I have Eruv, that means I pour something from a kli rishon, and it hits the item mid-air. It did not yet land in the kli sheni. So in that case, I don't have dofnos of chamin. The walls are not heating it. But I do not yet have the defanos mekaros of a kli sheni. So yesh la'ayin, what's the din of iroi? And it should be toloi in these possibilities. According to the other mahalach that we said in the Tosfos, also iroi might be toloi, in the sense of we suggested that when Tosfos distinguished between kli rishon and kli sheni, Tosfos meant that Bishul is a tahalich. Bishul is a process. It takes time. If that's the case, so then Iroi l'cha'ora, there's no time that is there for Bishul, no? That's l'cha'ora, an approach that Iroi would not be mevashel. If you assume, however, like Rav Soloveitchik said, that the difference between kli rishon and kli sheni is derech Bishul, so then conceivably, you can have things that it's derech bishul, ayah de'iroi. So these possibilities are all in the air, and it leads us to the conversation regarding halacha lemaaseh, what's the status of iroi. The Mishnah Membeis Amud Aleph tells us that you're not supposed to put tavlin into a kli rishon, which is not al gabei ha'esh. Don't put tavlin into it. Even though it's klivishin, you shouldn't put spices in. However, Zakh the Mishnah, you can put iru, you can put, excuse me, the tavlin into a klisheni. Nosim l'tocha kairo l'tocha tamchoi. I'm allowed to put the spices into a klisheni. So the Rishonim, Tosis in particular, Membeis is bothered by Yestira. Which one is it? On the one hand, the Mishnah tells me that I should not put the tavlin into a kli rishon. On the other hand, the Mishnah tells me I can put the tavlin into a kli sheni. Well, what's the halacha about this in-between stage, the iroi? What's the halacha about iroi? Is iroi considered like a kli rishon, or is iroi considered like a Kli Sheni? And there are two brothers who disagreed about this point. The Rashbam, the Rabbeinu Tam. Right? The Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam have a machlokas. The Rashbam assumes Ladino that Iroi is Kli Sheni. But the Rabbeinu Tam assumes that at least partially, we'll have to flesh this out in a few moments. At least partially, Iroi is a kli rishon. If you go through the Tosas slowly and carefully, on Membeis, The Rashbam says that Ivri is like a klisheni, and his primary proof is from a sugya in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim has a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether I pass an ilo'a gevar or tita'a gevar. What wins, the guy on top or the guy on bottom? Alternatively, what wins, the item in place or the item in motion? Right, that's another approach in Rishonim to the sugya of ilo'a and tita'a, because the tita'a is in place. The ilo'a comes, it moves. What is more powerful? That's the shaila in the Sefes Pesachim. Ladina, we pass in tita'a gevar. We pass in that the thing at the bottom wins. Zok the Rashbam, since tita'a gevar, since the thing at the bottom wins, consequently, that's proof that Ivri is considered a kli sheni because tita'a gevar. Right? If I pour hot water and it lands on something, it lands on some spices, it lands on a piece of meat, it lands on whatever it lands on tea. So then, Zok the Rashbam, Ivri is tita'agavar, pardon me, we pass from tita'agavar. The item at the bottom is cold. Memela is considered a kli sheni. That's what the Rashbam says. The Rashbam has other rayas. Each raya, by the way, you can be docha. There are rayas in terms of the Gemara in Zvachim, about Marika and Shtifa, about the halachas, if you cook a carbon in a pot, you have to make sure that it doesn't become nosar, or you have to make sure that if it became nosar, that you kasher it. Those two possibilities are machlekes Rambam and Raivin and Maisar Kabanis. But you have to kasher the pot. Can you kasher the pot? Ayde Iroi. Or does the pot become shreif in Maisar Ayde Iroi? That's a discussion in the Gemara in Zvachim. There's a discussion in Yerushalmi, machlekes Reb Yossi and Reb Yisa. Right? This is all quoted in the Taisos about the din of Iroi. But Rabbeinu Shmuel ben Meir, the Rashbam Paskins, he was like a klisheni. Comes along his brother Rabbeinu Tam, and he says, "My dear brother, I love you, but I don't know what you were smoking before lunch." Because Lemaisa, the Gemara there in Pesachim says that even though Tita'a Gevar, but nonetheless, there is a din of Kedei Klipa, the surface level does become a problem. If again, the case of the carbon pesach, right? So some of the raita falls onto the carbon pesach. So that's a discussion of the Gemara. Yilo'a gevar, tita'a gevar, etc. But the Gemara says even if you hold tita'a gevar, there is a problem. Kedei klipa at least becomes usher. So Rabbeinu Tam says the fact that kedei klipa becomes usher, the fact that like there's a surface level that becomes problematic, that indicates that there is some sort of bishul. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, Iroi is mevashal on the level of Do'iraisa. And the bishul might only extend to the level of a klipa, but it is bishul on the level of Do'iraisa. That is the pshat in the Rabbeinu Tam. So again, Machlekes Rashbam, Rabbeinu Tam, whether Iroi is Mevashel or not Mevashel. Rabbeinu Tam says the fact that it's Osir Kedei Klipa indicates that's Mevashel. Mr. Fine, your hand is up.
For Rabbeinu Tam, would there be, if one did Bishol, the Iroi Kli Rishon on Shabbos, would then there be Bishol Achar Bishol if one did regular
Kli Rishon? Yeah, so that's an interesting question. According to Rabbeinu Tam, L'cha'ayra, Ivri is only Mevashel Kedei Klipa. So the Bishol is only that surface level. If I do a second Ivri, then I'd say in Bishol Achar Bishol. But I'm not going to say that because Ivri happens, you're allowed to fully cook the item, because the second Bishol accomplishes more. Right? That's like the Svar that we spoke about with respect to Bishol Achar Afiyah, etc. Now, Rashbam, how does he deal with that Gemara? The Gemara says that there's an Isser of Kedei Klipa. So Al Karkacha, the Rashbam is going to say that the Isser of Kedei Klipa is a din in Bli'ah, and Bli'ah is not the same as Bishul. Right? This is like one of the big questions in Yerideya. This is one of the big questions we'll grapple with today. Do I assume that the koyach of absorption, which are dinim in Yerideya, kasher and treif come in contact, is there absorption? Is that the same for bishul on Shabbos? By basar b'cholov, l'cha'ira, it's the same. To create basar b'cholov, the oraisa, you have to be bishul. But if I have chazer shmalz, or some other macholos asuros, so then whether there's absorption or not might not depend on whether there's bishul. And the Rashbam is going to say that the Gemara in Psachim that tells me that al yedei iroi there is kedei klipa, that means that there's absorption kedei klipa. It doesn't mean that there's bishul kedei klipa. So b'kitzur ma'aseh, when all the dust settles, there's a machlekes Rashbam and the Rabbeinu Tam whether iroi is mevashel or is iroi not mevashel. Rashbam says iroi is a klisheni, it's not mevashel. Rabbeinu Tam says the iroi is mevashel. Those are two opinions in the Taisus Membeis Amid Beis. And in Shulchan Aruch Shin Yud Ches Seif Yud, we paskin, and I'll get there in a second. We paskin that usher litain tavon bekara velaros aleihem kli rishon. You're not allowed to pour water from a kli rishon on top of the tavlin, because we paskin like the Rabbeinu Tam that iroi is mevashel, so therefore you're not allowed to do this on Shabbos. Now, there are a few things to be said. Let's go slowly. Mishnah Berurah Katan Ayin Dalet quotes in the Magen Avraham that if a person does iroi and the iroi is iroi shelo nifsa kakiluach, there are two types of iroi. You could do iroi like, you know, you pull your hand back, so it's nifsa kakiluach. There's like some airspace between when it hits down at the tavlin and on top. That's right, the nifsa kakiluach. Or you can just do irui shelo nifsa kakiluach. Zok the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Ayin Dalet that irui shelo nifsa kakiluach, the food is going to be usher even b'diavad. If I pour water on tavlin, it's lo nifsa kakiluach. It's going to be usher even b'diavad. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Prima Gadim already notes, and the Shvisas Hashabbos makes a bigger deal of this, that l'cha'ora, this is highly problematic. When I say it's usher b'diyeved, that means that the food is treif. That's simin shin yod ches se'if aleph, that ha'mevashel b'shabes lo ye'ochel. In certain circumstances, I cook food on Shabbos, the food becomes treif, you can't eat the food. However, the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis quotes a principle that whenever there is a shita out there, so the food does not become treif. We paskin, right? There's shitas in Tanoim that Maaser Shabbos is an Issur D'oraisa. But we paskin Maaser Shabbos is not an Issur D'oraisa. We paskin Maaser Shabbos is a Knas D'Rabbanan. Because Maaser Shabbos is a Knas D'Rabbanan, whenever there's any shita who would say it's permitted, so the din of Maaser Shabbos does not apply. No? That's the halacha. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Beis. If that's the case, so nishalat hasheilah, how can the Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Ayin Dalet, how can the Mishnah Berurah say that if you do iroi, the food mamish becomes treif? L'cha'ira, it shouldn't become treif. Because there's a Rashbam who says iroi is a klisheni. That's the ha'ara that everybody asks on the Mishnah Berurah. How we answer this question, let me see the time. How we answer this question might be advanced Talmud, but Rabbi Willig once pointed out, I remember one summer we did Bishul B'Shabbos in Moresh HaKolel. People here, anyone heard of Moresh HaKolel? Okay, good place. So I was a counselor in the high school Kolel then, but the college kollel was during Bishul, and I had done Bishul in Rav Shechter's kollel the year before. So I like hung out with Rabbi Willig Shiurim already. And Rabbi Willig pointed out that the Mishnah Berurah himself has this ha'ara. If you look at the end of the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Beis, he writes, Ayin Sifkatan Lamed Beis Vitzarachiyim. Ayin Sifkatan Lamed Beis. So everyone takes out their Mishnah Berurah, and you look at Sifkatan Lamed Beis, and there's absolutely no shayfas at all. Sifkatan Lamed Beis talks about a dover yavesh versus a dover lach in terms of bishul achar bishul, like no shaykhis living or dead. So Rabbi Willig said what the Mishnah Berurah really meant is ayin sifkatan lamed beis in the Magen Avram. Sifkatan lamed beis in the Magen Avram is where the Magen Avram says that there's a din that the tavlin becomes usur b'di eved ayyadei iroi. The tavlin becomes usur b'di eved. That's in the Magen Avraham Sifkatan Lamed Beis that the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Sifkatan Ayin Dalet. So when the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan Beis says Ayin Sifkatan Lamed Beis with Tzarech Iyin, he means Sifkatan Lamed Beis in Rabbi Abraham Gumbiner's work, not Sifkatan Lamed Beis in Rabbi Yisrael Meir Kagan Pupko's work. Two totally different texts. He's talking about the Magen Avraham Sifkatan Lamed Beis, and he himself is bothered by the kasha. That's the ha'ara. If you listen to some of my shirim that I gave in the past about this, I have a razzle-dazzle mahalach to try to answer this, but let's leave the kasha the way it is. Right? So Rashbam, Rabbi Nutam, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch like the Rabbi Nutam, the Iri is Mevashel, and the Mishnah Berurah paskins, even B'diyev, it's going to be also. You had a comment or? So now, if you get beneath the hood in that Tosfos, Tosfos on Mem Beis Amid Beis quotes the Rashbam that Iroi is a Kli Sheni. Then Tosfos quotes Ularin there at Iroi is a Kli Rishon. And then later on in the Tosfos, he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that Iroi is Mevashel Kedei Klipa. The Tosfos in Mem Beis seems to have three different opinions: Rashbam, Ri, and Rabbeinu Tam. If you look in the other versions of Tosfos, no one has the Shita of the Ri. If you look on the side of the Oz V'Hadar Gemaras, they point out that it's mamish like a mistake to have the Shita of the Ri. It should be Rabbeinu Tam, not the Ri. When Tosfos on Lamed Tes dealt with this issue in passing, Tosfos is only talking about Rashbam versus Rabbeinu Tam. There is no Shita at all of the Ri. The Ri does not exist. However, in Rabbi Mordechai Willig's book, the Am Mordechai Hebrew, page 72, Rabbi Willig says, well, there is a shita out there that Iroi is Mevashel Bekulo. Right? This is what Ozzy was asking earlier. Can you say Im Bishul Achar Bishul by Iroi? Right? There's a shita that maybe Iroi is Mevashel Nekedei Klipa, it's Bekulo. And Rabbi Willig blames this shita on the Ri. He says if you read the Tosfos, there are three shitas in Tosfos, not two. And the Ri holds Iroi is Mevashel Bekuloi. Therefore, Rabbi Willig has a chumrah. Right? By the way, Rabbi Willig in Hilchos Bishul is mamish, like so not modern Orthodox. No, like everything is a chumrah, unbelievable. Rabbi Willig writes that in the Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, he talks about how do you heat up a baby bottle on Shabbos. Babies don't like cold milk, the cold formula. So what do you do? How do you heat it up? Well, the Shmir Shabbos says if you want, you could take water from the chaynik, you can take water from the urn, and just pour the water from the urn on the baby bottle. Iroi is mevashel kedei klipa, but the kedei klipa in this case is a non-food item. It's a bottle. It's plastic. Plastic, the bishul is only when it goes from solid to liquid. What do I change a state? Therefore, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, Arbach, you could heat your baby bottles by putting it under the urn. Ad kan. Rabbi Willick says, no, you can't do that. You got to be nervous that Iroy is mevashel bekulo, like the shita of the Ribal HaTaisvis. And therefore, you're not allowed to pour hot water from the urn directly on top of the baby bottle. That's what Rabbi Wallach time is. Similarly, in the Dershu Mishnah Bura, Sif Katin, I don't remember, number 51. There are different editions of the Dershu Mishnah Bura. The edition that I have, which I think is version 2. There's like Madura Kama, and then there's like version 2 of the Dershu. So in Dershu version 2, footnote 51, they quote from Rabin Zion Abba Shaul the following kula. You know, there's a whole discussion, how do you make tea on Shabbos? Right? Mr. Albert was bothered by this in like a previous year and a different previous year. Mr. Albert likes to ask questions about, well, how do you make tea on Shabbos? So comes on Rabin Zion Abba Shaul, and he has the following suggestion. It's like very easy to make tea on Shabbos. Take a tea bag, put it in the cup, pour hot water directly from the urn on top of your tea bag, and the tea bag is plastic, paper, non-food item, whatever it is. Iroy on a non-food item is, Iroy is only mevashel kedei klipa. In this case, the kedei klipa is a non-food item, so bishul is only meant goes from solid to liquid. So therefore, the suggestion is make tea on Shabbos. Don't put your tea bag into the urn itself. No. Don't do that. But pour the hot water from the urn directly onto the tea bag and kol davar mekomo yavo b'shalom. Now you are shaking your head. It's permeable. There are holes inside the tea bag, and therefore some of the hot water is going to hit the tea leaf itself. Yeah, and that's what the Dershu Mishnah Berurah points out. But this is like what we call a good try. Right? It's a good try. It's the same type of issue like the baby bottle. Obviously, according to Rabbi Willig, if you have to be choshesh for the opinion that Yuri is mevashel bekulo, so then it's obviously going to be a problem. Now, the Shmirah Shabbos Kehilchasa writes that you're allowed to take a hot egg. Mr. Kaufman, you trying to say something? I can't hear you for some reason. I still can't hear you. I don't know. You can hear me, so I'm assuming it's not my computer. Okay, but you can send me a chat. Send me a text channel, I'll try to respond. But the Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoting the Shmir Shabbos in one place. If I have a hot egg that comes out of the chalom, let's say, so am I allowed to pour water onto that egg? We'll have to discuss that's a shayla of a dover gush that we'll talk about in a few minutes. You're on mute, by the way. Maybe that's why I don't hear you.
Okay, yeah, I think it works now.
Yeah, now it works.
So even according to the Manda Amar that we have to be that Iroi Mikli Rishon would be Mevashel Bekulo, wouldn't it be a very easy to be Mechalik in the baby bottle case? Because the argument could be made that it's Mevashel Bekulo because it's a single item where like the...
Mm-hmm. So you want to say that maybe the liquid inside the baby bottle is different than the...
You remaining want to say food.
That I should only view the bishuls taking place on the plastic, and the plastic right. Doesn't cook. I don't know. That already, I would need a raya for that type of svara. It's not that I don't hear the svara. I would just need some sort of evidence for it. But okay. If Shlomo Zalman discusses pouring cold water, if you have a hot egg that comes a hard boiled egg, it's hot, and you pour water onto it on Shabbos. So Shlomo Zalman has a suggestion that maybe if the concern is I'm cooking the water, since the water is mamish, holy ibud right away, so perhaps that's another svar lahakel. Personally, I don't like that svar lahakel at all, because the fact that it's holy for the Ibud right away, if I really take that idea seriously, so nafal abira the entire din of Ibud. Ibud by definition means it hits something and then it falls off. So I'm not so crazy about that approach. So this is the discussion of Ibud. Now there are a few other in between things regarding Ibud. We already spoke about Ibud on top of the drops, making the second cup of tea, etc., that we discussed in terms of whether the bishul achar bishul by lach is really also me ikar hadin, or is bishul achar bishul by lach within the ramah when it's tanning the gamri, is that just a chumrah? And then can I be mitzaref the idea that maybe Iroi is not mevasho with that chumrah? That's like the issue over there. There's two other in between cases besides Iroi. There is the din of matzekes, the din of ladles. Is a ladle considered like a klisheni or not? Meaning, I take soup out of my pot. My pot's a kli vishin shlo agave ha'esh. I take soup with my ladle out. I pour the soup into a bowl. Is my bowl now a kli shlishi? Is my bowl a kli sheni? And that's an important shayla. Not only is it an important shayla, but there's a contradiction in the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah in Se'if Katan Pei Zayin. Mishnah Berurah says, Im sho'ev b'kli reikon mitoch kli rishon, yesh omrim d'dino k'kli rishon, ubefrat im masha kli reikon b'tocha shemala v'ticha, v'adai mikri kli rishon. The Mishnah Berurah says that the ladle is considered potentially a kli rishon. Certainly, if you leave the ladle in the pot and the pot boils more, certainly the ladle is considered a kli rishon. That's the Mishnah Berurah in Pei Zayin. In Sif Katan Memhei, however, the Mishnah Berurah is discussing making pecha on Shabbos. Most of you guys probably don't know how the shemak pecha is, but basically it's a jellied cow's feet, and you would pour some of that jelly onto some betzolim. You'd pour it onto onions. And the Mishnah Berurah says making pecha is like a real problem. Making pecha is a problem.
What sif is that in?
What?
Which sif is that in?
Which sif cotton? I think it's sif cotton mem.
The other one was Pei Zayin, you said, right?
Well, there's sif cotton Pei Zayin. And then there's sif cotton mem hei. In sif cotton mem hei, the Mishnah Berurah is talking about the machlokes Yireim and Ravya about whether there is bishul achar afiyah. Ashkenazim paskin not to put bread in a kli sheni because we're nervous of this bishul achar afiyah. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, but if the soup is coming after it was in a ladle, so then soup coming after it was in a ladle will treat that soup like a kli shlishi, and then you're allowed to put the bread into it. Mishnah Berurah is more machmir on the pshat because the betzolim have not yet been cooked. But the pshat also sometimes is done with direct iroi, that they would pour the cow's beet juice directly onto the onions. But the Mishnah Berurah is makel to put the bread in the kli shlishi, and he's makel that if you use a kaf, if you shoave the kaf, min ha-kedera, send it to kli shlishi. So there's a steer in the Mishnah Berurah. Is the kaf considered a keli? Meaning, right, do I treat the ladle like it's a separate keli or not? Stira between Sivkatan Pei Zayin, Sivkatan Mem Hei. So how do you answer Stira in the Mishnah Berurah? Yeah.
In Mem Hei, does he also say even when it's Malar Sivka that it's
still? No.
So then it's not really Stira because it says in Pei Zayin, isn't he just saying that if you're leaving it,
so Pei Zayin says Kol Shekain, if it's Mala Rasifa, it's considered a Kli Rishon. But you get an impression, even if it's not Mala Rasifa, I'll treat the ladle like it's a Kli Rishon. Yesh Omer, it's a Kli Rishon, right? Ubefrat, if I leave it there long enough. But you might have been getting in the direction of what the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish taines that in Sivkatan Pei Zayin, the fact that we're talking about the possibility of leaving the ladle in there until it's Mala Rasifa means that's a Kli Rishon on Gabei Ha'esh. Zok the Chazon Ish, a ladle that comes from a Kli Rishon on Gabei Ha'esh, that ladle is not considered a separate Kli. But if the ladle comes from a Kli Rishon and the Kli Rishon is Shenlo Agabei Ha'esh, that is considered a separate Kli, and then the bowl of soup is a Kli Shlishi, and then I could put my bread in the bowl of soup. That's the teretz that the Chazon Ish gives. In Sivkatan Reish Yod, in Shmir Shabbos 3.0, and in Sivkatan Kuf Ayin Dalet, in Shmir Shabbos 3.0, he cites this Chazon Ish. This Chazon Ish is the source of a chumrah that some people have that, let's say I want to make tea on Shabbos and I hold that Kli Shlishi is good enough to make tea. We'll talk about this in a few moments, or maybe tomorrow. We'll talk about this at some point. So what's considered Kli Shlishi? So the pashtus is, the pot that comes off of the fire is a Kli Rishon Shelah Agabei Ha'esh. I pour it into another pot, that's a Kli Sheni. I pour it into a third cup, that's a Kli Shlishi. Meaning I only need two cups. One pot and two cups gives me a Kli Shlishi. However, there are some who say that if my cup is coming from a Kli Rishon, which is Agabei Ha'esh, so that first cup is considered a Kli Rishon. The second cup is a Kli Sheni. The third cup is a Kli Shlishi. I would need three cups, not two cups, in order to...
I do this.
Again?
This is what I do.
That's what you do. You're very firm. Oh, Givaldic. So that's... Some people have this...
I very much hold that the urn is...
But even if the urn is a Kli Rishon or Gabei Ha'esh... That doesn't necessarily mean that the first cup is called a Kli Rishon. Right? There is a discussion, there's a Rashi who talks about the water that comes out of the shining and the water flows, that maybe that water itself is called a Kli Rishon, but it's not easy to read that Rashi at all. The Chazon Ish quotes that Rashi, but it could be that the case over there, it's mamish mechubar to the Eish. When I pour water into my cup from the urn, what I'm doing is the first cup that it comes out of, the first cup that goes into l'chora, is not at all connected to the hot water in the urn. The chshash that the Chazon Ish has is that the ladle became a Kli Rishon because the ladle was inserted when it is in the urn, mamish al gabei ha'esh. So the ladle gets esh into it. My cup that comes from the urn never got ish into it. There are some people who are machmir. Again, I'm not going to tell you not to be machmir, just because my general approach in life is that any chumrah that's not a big deal, why the heck not? Right? Like, what's the big deal? Use another cup. But min hasavara, it's not at all obvious. It's not at all obvious that even if you hold like this Chazon Ish by the ladle, it's not at all obvious that the first cup that comes out of the urn is called a Kli Rishon. So let's go back. What's the status of a ladle? Is the ladle considered a Kli Rishon? Is the ladle considered a Kli Rishon still? Or is the ladle itself a Kli Sheni? There's a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. Rav Shachter always quotes that if you read the Chofetz Chaim's son, Arya Leib, wrote a biography about his father. And it's published in the Kol Kisvei Chofetz Chaim. And in the biography of Chofetz Chaim, he writes that the Chofetz Chaim himself didn't write the Mishnah Brura. The Talmidim and the Yeshiva were given sections to write, and the Chofetz Chaim looked it over. And that's why, for example, there are different styles in different halakim of the Mishnah Brura. You go through the Mishnah Brura in the halachos of Dalad Minim. Dalaminim does not mean the four heretics. Dalaminim means Lulav, Esrig, Hadas, and Aravos. You go through the halachas of Dalaminim, and the Mishnah Brura is being mefabel all the time, and the Rashba, and the Ra'ah, and the Ritva. He's like poopling in Mishnah. That's not his derech, usually. The teretz is, there are different authors. Rav Schechter points out that when they opened up the Leningrad National Library, so there was a ksav yad of the Mishnah Brura, and you could see different handwritings, right? Different handwritings. So it's mamish arayu machrachas. It's written by different authors. And bozeh yesh makom letaretz kama stiros bedivrei haMishnah Brura. So one time, one of the Zaxes came to collect money from my father, and now he happened to have been home. And the Zaxes, by the way, Rav Mendel Zaks was my predecessor in yeshiva. He was the Bolkhan in yeshiva. That's Chofetz Chaim's son-in-law. So one of his grandsons has a yeshiva called Chofetz Chaim Radin in Forest Hills. Chofetz Chaim Radin is a yeshiva in Muncie. And he came to collect money.
It's a bit of a misnomer.
It's a bit of a misnomer, yeah. Well, Chofetz Chaim in Forest Hills is a misnomer. But they say that Reb David Leibowitz, who founded the yeshiva, learned the chavrus of Chofetz Chaim. That's why they named the yeshiva Chofetz Chaim. Reb Henoch's father. So he came to collect money. So I'm schmoozing with him. And I say, what do you say about this tradition that the Zayda, Chatnish Geshrib in the Mishnah Brura, that your grandfather didn't write the Mishnah Brura. So he says, and he proves it from the Sharba, the title page of the Mishnah Brura. It says, Chibarti be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach Yisrael Meir HaKoyen. I wrote it myself, as opposed to the Sharblat in the Nidche Yisrael, where it says, Chubar Tachas Yodim. That was his raya. And he said also that there's no such thing as a steer in the Mishnah Brura, and whenever there's a steer in the Mishnah Brura, you can't fire enter by saying different authors, because no such thing. There are no steers in the Mishnah Brura. Rav Schechter in the Piskei Korona about porch minyanim points out there's a steer in the Mishnah Brura's. He says, I'm going to pass in like the Mishnah Brura and Hilchos Zimun, not like the Mishnah Brura and Hilchos Tefillah, because he thinks that's the correct Mishnah Brura. No? It's all based on his shita that there are different authors of the Mishnah Brura. But the Zaxa said no such thing. I say, but there are steers in the Mishnah Brura. What about a ladle? Is a ladle klirish and a klisheni? So he says, no, it's not a steer at all. In Sivkot and Memhei, where the Mishnah Brura says that the ladle is considered a separate kli, that means for purposes of Bishalach Harafiyah. Since it's a machlokas yireim and ravya, so be mitztarif that to the opinion that ladles is considered separately. That was his approach. Again, I think it's a very reasonable approach, and I also think it's highly unreasonable to assume that within the same chelak of Mishnah Brura, from Sifkat and Memhei to Sifkat and Pei Zayin, there are two different authors. Right? That, I think, is highly unlikely, but I do think that the documentary hypothesis on the Mishnah Brura is actually very reasonable. So what we have so far is a stira. We have a shayla about Ivri. Machlokes Rashbam, Rabbi Nutam, perhaps is a third sheet of the Ri. We have a discussion, another Davar Benayim, which is called the Kaf. Is the Kaf, is that considered a Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni? If you look in the Taisus and Avodah Zarah, Daf Lamed Gimel, Taisus has a discussion about how do you kasher wine barrels. You have to understand, Dr. Soloveitchik in his book about Hayayin Bimei HaBeinayim, wine was a very big business for Jews, and they would ship wine all across the world. And the wine would be shipped in these casks. The wine would be shipped in these big barrels, and the barrels are very expensive. And how do you kosher the wine barrel? That was a big discussion. Taisus and a few places in the Beit Nazar has a discussion. So in Taisus, the problem is, right, this is advanced something, barrels are round. It's very difficult to kasher with direct eroy on something that's round because it's going to spread all over the place, no? And you'll have nifsach hakiluach or nizbal. And according to most, even if you hold that eroy is mevashel kedei klipa, like what we saw in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Ayin Daled, but eroy shenifsach hakiluach is not mevashel, according to most. So what's the story about kashering a wine barrel? So Taisvis over there quotes the Sheet of the Re that maybe you could be makel with kashering gayadei kaf, but that's only because since the wine barrel did not absorb bechamen, yayin has bli of its own, not bechamen. So maybe that's why you can be makel on it. But that Taisvis seems to be saying that we treat the kaf lahachmir in both directions, meaning if I have a chicken that was just shechted and I want to defeather the chicken. So the trick about defeathering a chicken is that you can defeather it much more easily when it's hot. So you're going to pour boiling water on the chicken and then pluck out the feathers. The problem is the chicken is malei dam. Right? There's blood all over the place in the chicken. I pour hot water on it, the dam is going to become nispashel in it. If you hold the iri is mevashel, dam is going to become nispashel in it, and that will chafe up your chicken. So what do you do? So Taisvis over there says, yeah, we have to be chayshish, that the kaf is also considered klivishin, and therefore don't do maligas tarnegoylem ayde kaf. Right? We're chayshish both ways. You can't kash ayde kaf, with the exception, perhaps, of the chavis of Yayin. And we don't do maligas tanigolim, ayyadei kaf either. That seems to be the conclusion over there. So again, so we're choshesh, the status of kaf. Just one last ta'ara, and we'll have to talk about davar gush, I guess, tomorrow. But one last ta'ara with respect to kaf is l'cha'ara, this entire conversation about kaf, whether it's considered like a kli rishon or not, has to presuppose that even irusha nifsak hakiluach is considered a kli rishon. Because by definition, every kaf is going to be nifsak, no? I stick the ladle in, I pull the ladle out, and then I pour. By definition, it's nifsak. Right? It's low nifsak if I pick the pot up and then I have a stream. But the kaf, by definition, is nifsak. So l'cha'ira, all those who are machmir on the kaf have to be machmir on nifsak hakiluach, which raises a bigger question on the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatin Pei Zayin. No? Since in Sifkatin Ayin Daled, it sounds like he holds that nifsak hakiluach is not a problem, how come in Sifkatin Pei Zayin he is nervous? So that's already a question to think about. And gentlemen, any questions or comments or observations?
Yeah, if we're saying that it's only a case of you're showing Agave Ha'esh, and then the kaf is basically Agave Ha'esh also, then you have to say it's not going to say it's Irish and Ifsa. It's just it's clearly shown that it was Agave Ha'esh and no longer is.
Yeah, but it still is going to be Nifsa. Right? In other words, if you hold that Nifsa means that there's no, look at the Chavastas and Simon Sadi Beis. Right? The Yisayid of Defanos Mechamamais is that Kozman that's kashur to the Defanos, the Chom of the Defanos can impact. When it's low Nifsak, so there still is a Kesher to the Defanos. But that Kesher to the Defanos ends when it's Nifsak. Right? It's no longer kashur. So it's very hard, even if it was Agabe Ha'esh, it's very hard to assume that it's going to be considered klinishin, right, once I pull it out.
When it's agave, then it's the thanos itself, the thanos of the calf itself becomes.
the defense of the kav itself becomes a kli rishon. So that's totally in what we spoke about the other day with Rav Rimon. Yeah. I thought defense mechamos is only when it's in direct contact with the fire, that the fire mamash heats it up, which is a sfar we'll talk about tomorrow by Dabar Gush. That when it's mamish on the fire, right, there is greater impact. But again, what you're saying is not impossible. I just don't think it's likely. Okay, any other comments, observations?
Leaving a ladle on in the pot that's not on the fire?
Yeah.
So, I mean, is that, but let's say it's like extremely higher yards of all this one. So, would that be more of a grounds to say that it's pre-vision? Or is it just possible agave ha'esh?
Again, I think the Chazon Ish says the only distinction is whether it's agave ha'esh or not. If you hold that, the Mishnah Berurah is only makel on the ladle because of the tziruf of, what's it called? Because of the tziruf of bishul achar afia, so then the ladle would not help for potential diuresis. It wouldn't help to, let's say, put lemons or put onions in my soup or in my tea. That would not help. I don't know if hotter yad zoledes, I don't think the Chazon Ish is going in that direction. I don't think Hari Yatzvot is considered Agave Ha'esh. The way that Chazon Ish says it is it's based on Agave Ha'esh and not Agave Ha'esh. Yeah. Okay. Gentlemen, you should all be blessed and have a marvelous day.